Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and I want you to turn to Matthew chapter number 2. Matthew chapter 2, find verse number 1. Once you find it, if you'll stand with me, Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse number 1 and 2. Everyone standing, Matthew chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 1 and 2. I'll read another verse to you. We'll pray, and then I'll share with you the sermon tonight. I just call it Honor Jesus at Christmas. Honor Jesus at Christmas. Matthew chapter 2, verse number 1, it says, "Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.'" Now, I'm going to read another verse to you. It's Revelation chapter 4, verse number 11, where the Bible says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." And let's pray. Father, bless the sermon. Might we honor your Son at this Christmas time. Father, take the simple verses and the simple application and help all of us to be stronger Christians, and might all of us truly honor your Son. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you were listening there in Matthew chapter 2, verse number 1 and 2, as we read, the Bible says that there were those wise men that were looking for Jesus, and they said, "We want to find him because we want to worship him." Now, there are a lot of definitions to the word worship, but one of the definitions or one of the parts of worship would be to honor. It would be a reverence, it would be an honor or homage. But when they said they wanted to worship him, what they meant was we wanted to honor him. You honor him by noticing who he is and what he is and what he's done. But that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to honor him. So all the way back in the Bible, when Jesus was born, it was obvious the wise man wanted to honor the Lord. They wanted to honor that little baby. Now, I happen to believe that the Bible teaches that honor is to be given. I believe the Bible talks about honoring those who are due honor. The Bible talks about children should honor their parents. And so there is a behavior that a child should, of course, express and have toward their parents. I think that the Bible also talks about that young people should show honor or respect to their elders. So I think that's another way of honor. And through the Bible, there's a lot of times when God speaks of even human beings showing a certain respect, a certain honor toward other human beings. But the ultimate teaching of honor in the Bible is that God's people should honor the Lord. You know, I think we all know the story. If we were to read the Bible, where we see the stories of the birth of Christ, what we'd call the Christmas story, you would find that Jesus was born in a manger. And we know that. A manger, now, where was that? It would have been a place where the animals would have been kept. And I want to read something to you that is very, very interesting to me. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse number 20, listen to these words. It says, "The beast of the field shall honor me." Huh. Do you know that Jesus was born in a manger, but the Bible teaches that the animals honor him? The three wise men were looking for Jesus, who was in a manger, so they could go and worship or honor him. But God had it set up so Jesus was born in a place where the animals would be present, and the Bible teaches that animals honor God. Do you understand what that means? The pigs honored Jesus. Wouldn't it be sad if a pig honored the Savior and you didn't? The cows would have honored the Lord. The goats would have honored the Lord. The horses, the chickens, the sheep. And listen, folks, God said, "The beast of the field shall honor me." And the Christ child was born in a manger where there were animals. But those animals would have honored, or in their own way, would have worshipped the Lord. And I've got a hunch that if the animals could honor the Lord, then you and I, we too, could honor the Lord. Now, the way that they would honor the Lord might not be exactly like we would. But, if you were listening when I read from Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, it said this, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Those animals were animals that God created. And when God created those animals, He gave them the good sense to honor their Creator. Somehow, the human race, they also have the ability to honor their Creator, but somehow they miss it. I'll make you all a promise. There's not one animal on the face of this earth that's mixed up about Christmas. Not one animal's off track about what it's really all about. Not one. They all know. They all know. And I almost wonder if God did not allow Jesus to be born in a manger surrounded by animals that God knew would honor that Christ child. And you say, I don't know how much communication Jesus could have with the animals, but we do know this. He created them. He created them, whether we understand it or not. And I don't know if you believe in all the Bible characters like Dr. Doolittle and those others. And there's some of you, you think you can talk to your dog and to your cat, and you probably do, and you're goldfish, you know, you got your mouth up against the goldfish bowl going, and all of that. And so, but I'm just telling you, I happen to believe that when Jesus was born in that manger, there was probably some type of a connection between that which He created that was there to honor Him and His presence in that manger. All I did was I glanced in the Bible real quick and I asked myself, what are some real simple things that I could say to everyone about honoring Jesus? And I'm going to make some very quick applications. I realize the hour's late. We had a lot of extra music tonight. You'll be gone by 8 o'clock or probably even before then. So if you're worried about how long we're going to be here, don't you worry. We're leaving. I didn't say whether 8 o'clock was a.m. or p.m., but... if you'd like to honor Jesus, like those, at least like the animals did, may I suggest something to you? You can honor Him by having a clean life. A clean life. I'm going to read to you from Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 8 and 9. The Bible says this, "And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned and where they have transgressed against me. And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor." Now, what had God said? God said when they're cleaning up their iniquities, He said that brings praise, joy, and honor to me. You know, there are people out there who will say they're going to worship or honor the Christ child in these days around Christmas, but they are not cleaning up the iniquity in their life. They're just going through motions. But if you want to honor Him with a clean life. And could I recommend something? Not just a public clean life. The real you. The real you. If you want to honor the Christ child. Let me give you another thought. I think that we can honor the Christ child by having mercy on the poor. And the reason I believe that is because I found a verse that teaches it. Let me read to you from Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 31. The Bible says this, "He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor." I happen to believe that God is honored when you and I are merciful in regard to the poor. Now, that could include loving the poor. I think God is honored by the Twin Rivers Baptist Church and all the energy and the effort that we put into attending to the poor. We attend to the poor. We go visit them and try to bring them into church and provide ways for them to come into church. And of course, everyone knows for months we have tried to feed the poor and help the poor. And I think God is saying here, I am honored when you have mercy upon the poor. And I think part of having mercy on the poor would be loving them. But I think also, if I could teach you something, did you know there are different kinds of poverty? Sometimes with financial poverty comes other types of poverty. There are some of you that you were reared in a rich culture of character training. And to be honest, you're rich in regard to what you've been taught about character. But you know that some people, when they are reared, they're not taught character. And I think God is saying when you meet people that have poverty portions of life, parts of their life are poverty stricken. He's saying, have some mercy. Have some mercy on those people. So, here's what I'm saying. I think there are people that are poor of character. There are people that do not know how to care for themselves. There are people that they don't understand all the characteristics of what we would call character. And I think God is saying, learn to have some mercy. You young people, those of you that were taught to be on time, you got to thank God for that. That's a rich heritage. Those of you that were taught to pay your bills on time, that's a rich heritage. Those of you that were taught to bathe. Now, honestly, you can thank God somebody taught you to bathe and to comb your hair and to be decent. You all do realize there are some people that have not been taught that. And I don't think God is ever pleased when you and I come across people that were not taught certain things that we were taught. And if we hurt them, or we mock them, or we look down on them, and God is saying be merciful around the things that poverty produces. Now, I think you ought to pay your bills on time, and I think you ought to be on time, and I think there's all the things that character is represented by, or by which character is represented. I think we ought to practice those things, and I think people ought to do those things. But I do think that if you've been taught something that somebody else has not been taught, God is saying to you, you honor me when you have a certain mercy with those who have not had the opportunities that you have. You know, there are a lot of people in here. You grew up around old time fundamentalism. And hey, I'll tell you this, even there's some of you, you grew up and you ladies, or some of you, you learned how to dress and how to be careful and modest with your dress. There are some people that come to church that have no concept. They never learned it. They never been taught it. Now, look, if somebody's been taught it and they're just rebellious against it, that's one issue. But I'll tell you what, there are some people, they come to church very sincerely and they don't know that there's a modesty and there's a way that things ought to be handled in regard to the body and things like that. And I think God would say to us, be merciful, be patient, teach, instruct, be kind. But God said, I am honored when you exercise mercy toward poverty. I am honored when you have a clean life. Then I stumbled onto this, the teaching of proper tithing, and that brings honor to the Lord. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10, it says, honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, the first fruits means that what you do is when the Lord gives you increase, the first 10% you give back to Him. And it first fruits means He's first. That's what first fruits means. The word first there in the Hebrew language means first. And God said, you honor me when you properly give to me. And He likes the honored position. Now, if I were asking to have an honored position, or Mike were asking to have an honored position, we don't necessarily deserve an honored position. But if God asked for an honored position, He deserves it 100%. And He said, the honorable thing to do, if you want to honor me, you take care of me first. I gave you 100%, you give me my 10%, and that's the honorable thing to do, and it ought to be done first. And just so you understand, that means before Uncle Sam gets his. You see, if you do it after Uncle Sam, that means he's not first. He's not first. So, what the Bible is talking about is honoring the Lord. And I'll go back to the fact that Jesus was born in a manger, and I think one of the reasons why is I think God knew that the cows and the pigs and the goats and the horses and the chicken and the sheep and whatever animal was in that manger would honor the Lord. Because the Bible clearly teaches in Isaiah 43:20 that the animals will honor Him. And if the animals can, we can. You and I, we can clean up our life. It's the thing we do to honor Him. We can have mercy on the poor. It's what we can do to honor Him. We can properly tithe. Then, I think by loving His house, we can honor Him. And again, because I found a scripture that teaches that. Psalm 26 verse 8 says, Lord, I have loved the habitation of Thy house and the place where Thine honor dwelleth. We are in God's house. And I think God wants us to honor His house. And I think that when we honor God's house, it brings honor to Him. I love the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. If I lived in this area, this would be the church that I would attend. This is not a perfect church by any stretch of the imagination, but I believe God's here. I believe God is blessing our church. And I think by loving the church, I think we honor the Lord. Now, I would have to tell you, I know lots and lots of Christians that like the church. They like the church, but they don't love the church. And I think there's a difference. And he said, Lord, I have loved the habitation of Thy house. I'll tell you the ones that will get the job done for God. It won't be the ones that just like it. It'll be the ones that love it. They love it. Hey, could I recommend that all of us, let's be careful. Let's not tear up this church building. Let's take care of it. And let's take care of each other. We're all a part of the church system. But I think you and I can honor God or honor the Christ child by just loving the church. Let me give you a couple more and we'll be done. Number five, I think by singing and singing about Christ and singing about the things of God, we honor Him. I think God likes to hear us sing. I didn't say love. I think God likes to hear us sing. I think God wants us to sing about Him. And again, because the Scripture says there is an honor to the Lord when we sing, then I think it's what we ought to do if we want to honor Him. Psalm 66, verse number 2 says this, sing forth the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. I think that God wants you and I to sing. It's a great, great thing. He didn't say you had to sound good. He just said sing. So earlier we sang a bunch of extra Christmas songs, and I'm glad that we did. And let me tell you, if ever we're singing congregationally and you say, well, I just don't sound good when I sing. Did you know something? God doesn't care how you sound. God wants you to sing. There's a beautiful song that a group or two of ours, they sing here. It's called God Wants to Hear You Sing. And God created your voice, and God loves you, and God's Son died for you. And when you sing, it brings honor to His name. And I think we ought to sing. And might I throw in here, I think that means that God really wants us to sing the right kind of music. I think by using your voice and singing the right kind of music, it brings honor to His name. Hey, I love it when we sing songs like, How Great Thou Art. Don't you think God deserves to hear us sing a song like, How Great Thou Art? Don't you think that God deserves to hear us sing the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness? And it's talking about the greatness and how faithful our God is. Hey, I love the song Amazing Grace, and can I tell you something? It's still amazing. It is still amazing to this day, and when you sing a song like that, I happen to believe that it honors our God. Let's never get caught up in me trying to impress you and you trying to impress me. And might I say to everybody that ever stands on this platform and sings any song, you better keep your eyes on the Lord, because the ultimate purpose you're up here is to bring honor to Him. Now, all the people will listen in and they'll glean from what you're doing. But if you're going to sing, you raise your voice to Almighty God and you sing, because the Bible says that singing honors Him. I wonder if somehow in the manger there were not animals making noises, and somehow God was, those noises was an animal singing. The other day on YouTube, I heard a dog singing Christmas carols. It's good. It's good. You say that's silly. I can tell you one thing I'm just sure of. There are noises that you hear out there being made by animals, and somehow it probably blesses our God. I don't know how, but the Bible teaches that the animals have enough sense to honor God. And if they do, you and I certainly should. We honor Him by our clean lives. We honor Him by having mercy on the poor. We honor Him by properly tithing. We honor Him by loving the church. We honor Him by singing about Him. I think we honor Him by keeping His day holy. By keeping His day holy. Let me read a couple of verses to you from Isaiah 58. In Isaiah 58, verse 13 and 14, it says this, "If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor Him, not doing thine own ways." And basically, it was the day that God had considered His day, and He said, the honorable thing is remember that my day is my day. Now, Sunday in New Testament is our holy day, if you will. And the Sunday replaced the Old Testament Sabbath. And so God was just saying, keep my day my day. That's unheard of today. This is God's day. This is God's day. I'm amazed at what people will do on God's day and forget about God. There are things, surely there are things that can be done that are not sinful, but I'd say on God's day you show up at God's house and you make sure God's things are put first. When our children were growing up, we never debated whether we would go to church. Say, how was it handled? We went to church. Say, why? Because it's right to do. We didn't stay home and watch television. A television evangelists need to get up and throw some good royal fits and tell the truth every once in a while. And they shouldn't be keeping people at home to watch television either. People should be going to the local New Testament church. That's what the Bible teaches. And I think the Bible is very clear. It honors God when you keep His day holy. And when you sing about Him. And when you love the church. And when you give your tithe properly, and when you have mercy on the poor, and when you have a clean life. Now I'm going to tell you something, and I know it's about 6 minutes till eight. I'm going to pray, and we'll be done. But I'm going to tell you this. I can't believe this. I'm a little bit overwhelmed at what I found. Listen to this verse. Listen to 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor." I'm a little overwhelmed at what I think I just read. God said, if you'll honor me, I'll honor you. Why would God ever honor us? But it says, them that honor me, I will honor. God already has honored us by allowing us to be in His family. Why would He ever need to do anything else? But He did say, hey, just in case you want to know, if you'll honor me, I have a way that I will honor you. What a great God. What a great God. They said, come, as we would sing, come, let us adore Him. And He deserves that adoration. He deserves our worship, and He deserves honor. The wise men said, we want to find Him so we can worship Him. The Bible tells us in Isaiah that even the animals honor Him. And so, don't forget, as we celebrate the birth of Christ, make sure you take the time to honor Jesus. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, we want to welcome you to the Savior. You come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you're here tonight, and Christian, are you honoring Him? Not just on the outside, but on the inside. I hope you'll truly worship and honor the One who created us. We're going to have a time of altar call. I wish that there were some that maybe you'd come down here, get on your knees and say, you know what, it is Christmas time. I need to put a little extra energy and a little extra effort into honoring my Maker, honoring my Savior. And if the pigs in that stable can honor Him, I think you and I, we can honor the Christ child.